Well, I wasn't planning on getting jacked up tonight. I was, you know, where's the worship team at? Here, guys. Hey, dude, let me just say something real quick. The Father showed me a kind of a vision about you guys yesterday in worship, and I just want to say this. I think it's God's design for you guys to stay together for a very long time. I don't know what journey you guys have coming up. I don't know what your guys' lives look like, because I know you guys are in a different place than last year when you were here. But literally, God showed me, like, there's a role. Have you ever played video games? Anybody play video games? Does anybody play, like, Overwatch? Like where you have roles, right? It's a team game, and you need a medic. You need a tank. You need a DPS, right? You need a rogue. You know, you need your paladins, whatever. And I'm not going to say the Lord showed me those kind of things, but he did show me some roles that each of you bring to the whole picture. And I just want to say, man, like, I've seen a lot of worship teams. You guys are awesome. Like, you guys are amazing. You guys flow like no other team I've seen. I'm quite envious, actually, of how well you guys flow together. So I just want to say thank you to you guys. Today, the message, I'm not going to be very long because I think the Lord's already done most of his job tonight. It's kind of hard to follow up the Lord. And it's also really hard to follow up the poppycock guy that was here yesterday. If you know Will Sharpless, he's basically a doctor, isn't he? Is he a Dr. Sharple? Dr. Poppycock is what we're going to call him from now on. He's really hard to follow up, but I'm not a speaker. I feel like I was called to be a worship leader, but I do feel like the Lord stretches us, amen, to be a little uncomfortable. Tonight, it's supposed to be about eternal security, but he kind of messed that up for me. As you can see, I wrote my sermon last week because it was another thing I had to check off the box to get ready for camp, and that's my sermon. That's what I did about right 15 minutes before service when I was looking over my notes. They got X'd out. So I'm going to go with what the Lord wants to share tonight. And does anybody know the hardest thing about being a Christian? The hardest thing about being a Christian is following the Spirit and following the wind where he pushes you constantly, left and right. You think you got it figured out. And if you're seeking the Lord, next thing you know, the wind's blowing that way. But you think it's blowing that way, but you follow this way to make sure this is right. Amen. And so that's where I feel like I'm at tonight. The Lord just keeps moving. And every time I come to camp, it's like the Lord just wrecks everything that I thought I was ready for. Been here, I don't know, 3 years as a counselor. Used to do the worship here years ago, and every year I show up and it's different. And but tonight, you know, eternal security. And the thing about eternal security that I want to talk about is that it's not, I don't want to focus on the whole heaven and hell conversation, but what I want to talk about is that through eternal security, you're also eternally affirmed. And so I was kind of wondering what that word is always spoken to me, affirmation. Affirmation. What does that mean? Right? What does that mean? I always thought it was to say, almost to agree with something or to say, yeah, that's right. You know, I'm going to affirm that. But it's actually the action. Affirmation is actually an action. And it's to validate or declare something. Do you remember when Poppycock was talking about speaking things out over your life? How we shouldn't just think them, but we should declare them, right? And so affirmation is not just this agreement or this feeling that we have where we say, oh, yeah, that's probably right. I can see that. I affirm that. But what it means is to actually validate or to declare something over you. And so I didn't really want to do this, but I'm going to. Let me start here. I think the biggest thing that this generation, any generation really, but I think the biggest thing that young people face today is a lack of affirmation, a lack of the action of love, right? I think that a lot of times there's probably people that might say they love you, but you don't really see it, amen? You don't see the actions behind the words. And I think that there's a lot of things, there's a lot of broken families, and there's just a lot of hurt and a lot of misunderstanding, and there's a lot of trauma that happens. And what happens is we begin to wonder, does anybody like me? Does anybody care? Why do people treat me this way? Why am I different? And you know, I was gonna share just a little bit of my story with you guys tonight, so you guys could know me. I try not to walk back and forth, but I'm extremely nervous. The thing is I was a pretty good kid. About from the ages of, when I was 14 years old, I decided to shoot car windows out that were driving down the street with a BB gun from a second story window. And I went to juvie for about 2 weeks. And they scared me, didn't press charges. I almost killed somebody, shot the BB through both windows, and almost hit the lady in the face. Didn't really know what I was doing, just thought I was being cool and shooting cars, right? What's it gonna do? Was a pretty good kid besides that point in my life, but what happened was I came from a construction worker dad, you know? My mom was a stay-at-home mom. I was a mama's boy, I guess you could say. My dad was never home. He was always working late, pouring concrete, had to get the pad poured, got to get it done, got to, you know, whatever. And so the thing is I always wanted time with dad because I never got it. And the only time I could have time with dad is if I went to the job site and worked, right? If you've worked concrete before, you don't want to do that. And so the thing is my relationship with my father was that he would rather go to work and he would rather go do things outside of work than come home and spend time with me. And my whole life, I chased down his acceptance, his affirmation, his love. Am I enough for him? Is he proud of me? And what happened was when I was 16 years old, my dad died in a car accident. And that's it. There's no getting that affirmation that I was looking for from him. He's gone, right? And so I'm a 16-year-old kid, and I just lost everything. I don't know what's going on. We had to move houses. We lost our house. We lost our cars. Of course, he didn't have life insurance or anything of the sort of that. And me and my mom had to basically start over. And I went off the deep end and made bad decisions. See, I never felt loved by my father. And so when he passed, I decided that I would find love somewhere else. So I became a drug addict. I've been to jail several, probably six or seven times. I had to throw that in there, wake you up. But I've been to jail several times. I was a drug addict, drug dealer. I have scars down my arm because I was a suicidal cutter, been to the psych ward twice, all sorts of stuff. And so I've experienced a lot of trauma, and I'm not ashamed of it, amen. Don't ever be ashamed of anything, because what these scars, I told my tattoo artist, I got this tattoo for Father's Day. It probably looks like crap right now because it's all dried out, but I got this tattoo on Father's Day. And you probably can't see the scars very well, but I said, can you go around my scars? And I have these cuts down my arm, and that's part of my story, amen. I'm not going to glorify it, but I'm also not going to hide it, because if I can use this right here as proof to identify with somebody to help them through a situation and say, I've been there with you, I've been where you've been, how can I help you? I'm going to do that. And this right here is to show you guys how much I care about you. So this, you see that gnarly little Can you see that? That happened today playing wiffle ball. So, amen. But the thing is that I've been through a lot, you know. And when I went through a lot, it was around the same age that a lot of you guys, where a lot of you kids are at, is where I started going through a lot of stuff. And there was nobody to talk to. My mom couldn't deal with it. What am I going to do, tell her I'm suicidal? Go back to the psych ward again? Mm-mm, didn't want to do that. So instead, I said, I'll find love my own way. And it was easier to stay high and stay completely unconscious to anything around me than to have to deal with the stuff that was inside of me. And it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. A lot of us find distractions. A lot of us get on Facebook or I'm a boomer, so let's call it, what's it called, Snapchat? I can't use that app. That app's terrible. But a lot of us get on there and we just waste time. I'm guilty of it, sitting there on Facebook and scrolling, doom scrolling, they call it, and it'll be 2 hours, and I'm like, what? Why did I do that? You know? And so we fill our lives with distractions. We don't want to have to deal with the emotions. And so the thing is that going back to a little bit of my story, I was saved in a jail cell at the age, I'm going to call it saved, amen. If that offends you, I'll explain that later. But I was in jail, and a guy came in, and his name was David Tharp, and he said, "Who's not saved?" And I said, "I'm not saved." And he said, "Well, we're going to get you saved." So I said, "Okay." I said the sinner's prayer, and then next week I was released out of jail, and I was invited to go do worship at his event or whatever. I did worship at his event for a long time. I went through drug court. I passed it. Had a bunch of felonies and got those erased. But here's the deal, is that I don't think that was really me being saved. And I'm not talking about heaven or hell. I didn't feel God's love and his acceptance and his affirmation and his completion in me when I accepted Jesus. Amen. And what I mean by that is that I accepted Jesus because I was desperate, but I also accepted Jesus and his sacrifice and all that kind of stuff because I was afraid that I had messed up so much that maybe I was going to go to hell. I'm sitting in a jail cell. I better get right with God or I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell. It says in the Bible, I didn't have this scripture, but it says in the Bible that it's the goodness of God, the love of God, the grace of God that leads men to repentance. Nowhere does it say that the fear of God leads you to a place of repentance. And repentance isn't getting down here and saying, "Lord, I'm sorry, don't send me to hell." Repentance is the changing of your mind. And so it wasn't until I started attending GGTI and spent a few years doing some worship there, and I'm still currently there, and I started hearing this grace message thing, and it was a bunch of bull crap, man, what I thought. I thought the grace message was heresy, honestly. I had never heard anything like it. What do you mean God loves me when I mess up? Where's the rule system? What do you mean? What do you mean he doesn't punish me for my sins? What? There's no way. So I still held on to my beliefs for a long time, even attending there. And I just kept on the back burner and whatever. But what happened was I went through my life and I was doing all the good things. Amen. I was being a good dad. I had a good job. I was being a good boy and making sure that I was on church and doing my worship and checking off the boxes, amen. And I was feeling pretty good, but then guess what happened? Kyle fell because Kyle was doing it all himself and didn't have a relationship with God. He just had a Mary attitude about it where I said, "I'm going to go do all this stuff for God, but I'm doing it." Why? I was doing it because it kept me busy. I didn't have to think about nothing. All I got to do is just check off the boxes. What happened was I wasn't doing things because I was persuaded by the love of God. I was doing things because I was still afraid of God. Amen? So the thing is that what happened was Kyle fell down because Kyle couldn't keep going. Kyle never dealt with the stuff that he should have dealt with, so Kyle fell. Kyle got addicted. Kyle went through withdrawals for years and years and years of back and forth with other stuff. And what happened was I was sitting there on my couch one night, and I was thinking about something that my pastor had told me. Pastor Bill had told me, he said, I just remember this random sermon that he had a long time ago that said, God doesn't count your sins against you. God doesn't keep record of your sins. And so what happened was, I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, that can't be true. There's no way that you're not counting my sins against me right now. I'm a minister of the kingdom and I'm in sin. And I just remember the Lord, the first time I've probably ever audibly heard what the Lord said to me, and he said, no, it's true. I don't keep your sins against you, and I do love you right now in this place right here the way you are. And I remember I got mad. I was mad. I was offended at how good God actually was. I was offended. There's no way. Where's the punishment, God? Where's the justice? Smite me down. I deserve it. I'm a piece of crap. That's what I wanted. But what happened was God began to start building me up. And I got curious and I said, who is this God? Who is this God that would care about me and my sin? And so the thing is that I believe in that moment, when I realized that God's love was unconditional and it wasn't dependent on my actions, that's when I believe that I was actually saved. Because the deal is that I was in that moment persuaded that God was good. In that moment, I was persuaded to accept the sacrifice and believe in him because I was persuaded and convinced that he was a good God. And it wasn't that I was afraid of going to hell. It was that I was fulfilled by his affirmation. And so I wanted to just accept him. And see, salvation, it's more than just a conversation than about your destination. Salvation, to me, is you guys understanding that God loves you now. God affirms you now where you're at. You don't need to get up here and do all your stuff for God to care about you. And so what I want you guys to really know, and I'm trying to just flow here, I'm sorry, but what I want you guys to know is that salvation is whenever you understand that God loves you and that you understand that you are affirmed right now in this place, that there's nothing that you can do to change his mind about you. There's nothing that you've done that's changed his mind about you. And the thing is that it's hard to accept that because we want a rule system that we live by. And what I want you guys to understand is that we have all these different churches, right? And we have all these different denominations. And we have all these different, like, look at our volunteers here tonight. We got a handful. We don't have enough volunteers for as many kids we got, amen. But we have some pretty awesome volunteers that make up for it. And the thing is they don't do this for a paycheck or whatever. The reason that we're here, the reason that the worship team's here, amen, is the reason this whole camp exists is because we're convinced and we're fully persuaded by the love of God, and we're completely fulfilled by it, that all we want to do is share that with you. That's our whole purpose in this life, is that we would share the good news of the gospel with our brothers and our sisters because we believe it, amen? Not because we're trying to check off a box of being a minister, but we would we would be fueled by the compassion that Christ had for us. You know, Christ was a sinless human, just like you and me. He was born of a woman. He lived this. He had poopy diapers, whatever, man. He was the same as you and I, except he had a relationship with God and he knew who he was. But the thing is that what it says in the word that he literally, before he was crucified, he was in the garden and he was sweating blood. That's how intense it was for him to know that he was going to go die and be crucified on a cross. What the heck? What would drive Christ, the Son of God? What would drive him to go sweat blood and go die? Well, we think about it, and when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, okay, cool, man, that sounds great. He was fully fueled by compassion for you. That's it. God never told Jesus, you better go do this, Jesus, or you're going to go to hell. That's not what he said. He never said any of that to Jesus. So why did Jesus work so hard? Why did Jesus do so much? Why did Jesus live a sinless life that we couldn't live? Because he loves you. And he knew that he had to buy you back. He knew that he wanted to make a legal transaction to adopt you. You know, the word adoption, I actually looked this up because I always think adoption is just like whatever, like you're adopted. It's actually a child who has been legally made a son or a daughter of a parent. So you weren't just born as a son of God necessarily or a daughter of God, but God literally went and made a legal transaction for you to become his child. So he went and took what was his. And he had to go die to pay that price for you. I know we sit there and say God loves you and he gave his son for the world and all that kind of stuff, but we got to get it, man. We got to get that down here, not just here. Okay? And I'll close here in just a second. But the thing is that God was fully convinced and in love with you before you were even born, that he already made this plan for you, that he already made this decision that he was going to die and buy you back, amen? See, I'm a stepfather. I married into kids. I didn't have kids before my marriage. I met Amanda, and she had a three-year-old, and she was also currently pregnant with little Miss Constance right there. She was 3 months pregnant with her, and what happened was I got with Amanda, and I had no idea how to raise kids, amen? I didn't have any of my own. But guess what? When Constance was born, that's my baby girl. Amen. There's no, oh, August is my biological son and Constance is my whatever. No. She's my baby girl. Amen. Ethan's my son. When I chose to marry into this marriage, this covenant with this woman who had children, they became my children. Amen. And you're not going to convince me otherwise. You're not a foreigner, but Jesus purchased what was lost, amen? And you can't lose something that's not of value. So I just want you guys to know that, hey, I know I might look kind of mean sometimes. I have that I'm going to call it RMF instead of the RBF, resting meanie face, right? I know that the beard can be a little intimidating, right? And I probably look like I hate you when I go like this. Do I look like I hate you when I do that? Yeah. It's probably because I'm busy and I'm on a mission and I need to learn how to slow down. Amen. I'm not mad at any of you guys. I love you guys. I love all you kids, even the ones I don't know. Amen. If you ever think that I'm mean, look at my teeth. Because I have a chipped tooth right here. And a lot of time I'll talk to you like this because I don't want you to see it. But I have a chipped tooth. So just laugh at me. Yeah, you can laugh at me. Amen. Let's not do that again. But that was probably mean right there. I was trying to be, but just kidding. But I just want to tell you guys, like, hey, look, camp is awesome. I'm not a preacher. Usually we bring these guest preachers in that do an amazing job, like Poppycock did, and they're funny and they're like bald or whatever he was. And the thing is I'm not that guy. I'm just a counselor that is in love with Jesus and wants to just share that with you guys. And I just want to say that my heart's always open to you guys. If you are struggling with anything, I just pray that you would come talk to somebody. Amen. Where's Gabe at? Real quick, where's Gabe? Can you come here? What? Oh, yeah. I'm going to share a little bit about the cabin last night. Is that cool with you? Are you good with you? Are you good? Okay. So I told Gabe I might bring him up here. I didn't tell him what I was going to talk about, amen. But, you know, Gabe joined our youth group, year and a half ago or so. And, you know, Gabe used to come into the church during worship and stuff, and he'd have earmuffs on and sunglasses. I remember he had some sunglasses he'd wear inside, and he was really quiet and really reserved. And as he was a part of our group and our group accepted him like he was just one of them, amen, and they accepted him and they loved him. And you know, it's he was just a kid that didn't go out and like make friends. He didn't go out and do anything that was uncomfortable. And I remember in our lock-in, who was there? Where's Xander and Esteban at? So you guys probably did more than what you think you did at that lock-in. Amen. And I know some of you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but it's okay. You can hold on. So Gabe decided, so we got Esteban. I don't know if you were there. Were you there at the lock-in? No? Okay, well, sorry. Boom. Xander was. And so Xander's a wrestler for high school, and he's pretty good, so don't mess with him, okay? If you mess with me, I'm going to stick him on you. The thing is Xander's a pretty good wrestler. And what happened is in McDonald County, where I'm from, where we have chipped teeth and we talk like this, man. Basically, we do this game in our youth class called sock wrestling. And what happens is you wear a sock and you wrestle each other on the ground until somebody either dies or somebody gets a sock off, amen? And so it's violent, it's fun, it's a little concerning, and I wish I would have gotten a waiver signed before we did it. But it's okay, it's cool, man. And so what happened is Gabe said, I want to do that. And I was like, whoa, okay, buddy. You don't want to do that. And just not because I doubt Gabe's abilities, but because you're going up against a seasoned wrestler. Amen. Xander's like, what, 1-51 or something like that? Like, I mean, he knows what he's doing. And so the thing is that Gabe was going to be going up against somebody that knew what they were doing. But, man, Xander wrestled with Gabe, and Gabe wrestled back. And I remember I ran into the other room and I told Shane, I said, Gabe's in here wrestling, man. And he's like, what? And went in there, and Gabe's in there wrestling, having a good time. And he's really come out of his shell. But I think here's the deal. I'm not going to take credit away from Jesus. Amen. I'm not taking credit away from Jesus. But a lot of that's because the Jesus in you guys that has allowed him to be comfortable, and that's allowed him to be vulnerable. Amen. Yeah, give yourself, and all the leaders too in the church. So the thing is that Gabe was struggling with some stuff last night. He was struggling with staying the night at camp and going through with this thing. Amen. Nobody asked him to go to camp. He said, I want to go to camp, and he's at camp. Amen. And last night he kind of wanted to go home, and he wanted to talk to somebody. So I stopped in there and we talked, amen, right? We talked, and Gabe's here today, amen. And he slept good, amen, right? slept good. We had some good conversations, and you wouldn't believe what would happen after that. Next thing I know, I got another kid in the dorm. Where's Wyatt? Yeah, amen. Wyatt starts talking about some stuff, and we start having this vulnerability inside the cabin, amen. And now we got this kid that's still here, and he's become a nine-square champion, amen. I see him up there all day playing nine-square, right? And so I just want to say I'm very proud of you, okay? Is that you get it?
Yeah,
I'm proud of you, man, okay? You've done a great job. You made that
decision to stay. Okay? I just want you to continue to stay.
Woo! Good, Gabe. Yeah, he's awesome, man. He's one of my favorites. And all right, you guys ready to go swimming and get wrecked? Xander is a really good wrestler, but he is a terrible swimmer. So if you want to get the best of him, huh? I know. I've seen you almost drown three times because you can't swim, amen? Just kidding. But, hey, go out there and love